If you're wondering where those words come from, you can look in Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes in your Old Testament, and there you will find them. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. The Gospels describe Jesus as a person of prayer. Time and time again, we find Jesus in deep conversation with God. One of those places is in the Gospel according to Mark, there at the very, close to the very beginning, the first chapter. Jesus has spent the morning on the Sabbath teaching in a synagogue, and our story picks up right, our narrative picks up with him leaving the synagogue. It's on page 33 in your Pew Bibles, the New Testament portion. If you would like to follow along, I'll be reading the 29th through 39th verses of chapter 1 of the Gospel according to Mark. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, a lonely place apart. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I received an email earlier this week from someone who noted things just seem to get crazier each day. And he wasn't talking about the state of the world with the unrest going on in many parts or the state of nature with all the extreme weather patterns, nor was he talking about national politics or anything like that. What he was talking about was his own life, his own particular circumstances. Things just seem to get crazier each day. I suspect he is not alone in feeling this way. I suspect this sentiment is shared by many, at least at some time in this room. It does seem at times we lead crazy lives, does it not? If it's not your boss, it's your spouse. If it's not your spouse, it's your kids. If it's not your kids, it's your parents. If it's not your parents, it's the government. It's a mad, 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 mad world in which we live. Jesus had to feel that way from time to time as well. Here he has been healing folks. They are clamoring for his attention. His disciples come to him basically saying, "Jesus, there are a lot of people, a lot of folks out here wanting a piece of you, wanting your time. Don't you have work to do?" Jesus even had to feel life is a bit crazy from time to time. Things just seem to get crazier each day. Well, let's think about the lives we lead for just a moment. Let's think about these crazy lives we lead. For many of us, there are four spheres in which we spend most of our time. And for purposes of illustration, we have stations here. The table set up with four stations illustrating the spheres in which we live. The first is the workstation. Here I have a telephone and my trusty coffee mug. I know all of you can see what it says on it, right? I use it as a pen holder. Think about how much time we spend working. How much of your day, your week, is spent in work, those of you who are not retired. And work is good. Adam and Eve, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave to them a job to do, to till and keep the garden. He gave to them a vocation. Work is hallowed. And when you think about work and the amount of time we spend in it in our lives, kind of falls into different categories. If you are one for whom you love your work, who you can't wait to get up and go to work, if you're one for whom work, your profession, brings great satisfaction and enjoyment, consider yourself blessed. Get down on your knees and thank God that you are one who has landed, located a vocation about which you are excited. Because not everybody feels that way. There are those as well for whom work is a drudgery, for whom work is nothing more than a way to meet ends, for a way to get bills paid. As well, there are those who are kind of in between. They love parts of their work. Parts of it drive them crazy. And then, of course, there are those who live to work. You've heard that phrase, the typical workaholic, those for whom work is their very reason for being. And, of course, work is good. Work can be incredibly productive. It is where we spend so much of our time. But it also can be a source of frustration, a source of stress, a source of anxiety in our lives. You know, nothing has the potential to bring as much joy and satisfaction as family. This is the family station. We have a little dinner table set up where we think about dinner time with family. And the relationship with the spouse, relationship with children, with other extended family members can bring great, great joy and meaning into our lives. But I dare say, I surely am not speaking out of turn to note that probably every person here has at least one family relationship about which there is anxiety, about which there is heartbreak, about which you lose sleep, over which you lose sleep at night. Family can be a source of great joy, but it also can be an area of conflict, of heartache, as we live our lives. And of course, the third station is the PlayStation. Nothing much more fun than getting out and going on vacations, having fun, playing tennis, playing golf. I even have a golf club up here. Play is so important. Getting physical exercise, going on vacation, getting away. It's a very vital part of our lives, to say the least. And there's even overlap in these areas. So when I think about some of my favorite times growing up as a kid and also as an adult with our own son, it was family time spent on vacation. Those times when there is overlap. But there can also be a negative overlap, can there not, as well? How many of you have taken a vacation in the last year or year and a half or so? How many of you on that vacation did work, took work with you? Yeah. How many of you have heard it said or said about yourself, sometimes it's as hard to get ready to go to work, I mean to go on vacation at work, and then the work that you have to do when you come back, it's almost worth, makes it worth, not even worth going on the vacation to begin with. Yes, free time, time for ourselves, recreation time is incredibly important. And of course, the last sphere is the God station, and it's represented by this Bible. And of course, in reality, the God station, matters of the Spirit, you know, church, the Bible, resources of the soul should permeate all these spheres of life. But what happens so often, we kind of relegate the God part, the spiritual aspect, to the periphery. And that's when trouble occurs, when you lose a job, when you have a tragedy, when you're facing a relationship challenge. And this hasn't been part and parcel. It hasn't been in the center. That's when trouble begins. So let's see how Jesus dealt with this craziness of life that with which we all deal. Jesus has had a full day, as we mentioned. It was the Sabbath. And Jesus spent the morning teaching in the synagogue. After teaching, he goes to the home of Simon Peter, and there he heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And then at sundown, all the sick and demon-possessed were brought to him. Mark tells us that all the whole city was gathered around the door. All the whole city. Talk about craziness. And then after a full day at the office, so to speak, Mark reports that the following. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a lonely place apart, and there he prayed. he went out to a lonely place apart, and there he prayed. And while he was praying, still praying, Peter and his companions find him and say to him, "What are you doing? Everybody's looking for you. The whole city is back at the door. You've got another full day ahead of you." But Jesus says, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." How did Jesus know that it was time to go on to the neighboring towns rather than staying in Capernaum? You know the answer, don't you? In the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a lonely place apart, and there he prayed. Jesus models for us how to manage all this craziness, all the craziness of life. Consistently, Jesus is a person who attends to matters of the Spirit. And it is through this time with God that Jesus discerns God's will for his life. It is through this time with God that Jesus finds direction for his life. It is through this time with God that Jesus is able to manage all the other facets of life and keep them in balance, keep them in perspective, family, work, and play. And friends, that's the way we're invited to make sense of the craziness of life. Time with God, time with matters of the Spirit. Yes, family's important. Yes, work is important. Yes, play is important. But it can get out of hand. It can get out of balance. We can become so consumed with work that we neglect family. We can become so enmeshed with family that we neglect our physical bodies, our need for play. Jesus models for us how to keep it all in balance. Jesus models for us how to nurture the most important relationship we can have, our relationship with God. The story is told of Martin Luther, how when he shared that every morning he spent 3 hours in study and prayer. And he was asked, "How do you do that? With everything else you have going on in your life, where do you find time to do that?" And Luther is reputed to have replied, "I cannot imagine being able to face the challenges of the day without at least 3 hours in prayer." Well, friends, it doesn't have to be 3 hours a day, but if we consistently relegate God to the periphery, we'll be less prepared to handle things when the bottom falls out, when we lose a job, when we face tragedy, when a relationship suffers. Parents, one of the greatest gifts, if not the greatest gift, you can give to your children is for them to see you reading your Bible and praying, to model for them spending time with God in study and prayer. And this goes for you who are grandparents as well. Nothing you can do for your grandchildren will have as lasting an effect as for them to see you taking seriously spending time with matters of the soul. Work, family, play are all important. They are vital to our well-being. But things can get crazy, out of balance, leading to frustration, despair, even illness. The way Jesus maintained a healthy balance in his life was to make God the center, the anchor, the focus around which everything else turned. And Jesus invites you and me to do the same. So when you find yourself uttering a phrase similar to "things just seem to get crazier each day," pause. Make sure your life is not out of balance. And especially make sure that you're not shoving matters of the Spirit to the periphery, that you are not neglecting your relationship with God. Jesus was a person of prayer who spent quiet time with God. Let's make sure we do the same. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the many opportunities and challenges of life. We pray, oh Lord, that you might be a constant source of strength and comfort and challenge in our daily lives. Help us to set aside time, intentionally set aside time, that when challenges do arise, we may be better equipped to handle them because we have those spiritual resources on which to call. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.